Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Housing, housing, housing. The price of housing, building more housing. How many talking heads have we heard talk about housing? How many journalists have written news articles about housing? And it's like, well, why don't we hear from somebody that actually builds houses for a living? Hey, we're going to do just that here in just a few minutes. A great home builder out of the Gallatin Valley, Eigen Graf, is going to be in the house with us. He's in town for some sports tournaments for the kids. So why not take advantage of the opportunity to talk housing with a great home builder who's also involved statewide and nationally with the building industry associations. That'll be coming up here in just a few minutes. And then in the second half of this show, we're going to have the phone lines open for you and anything and everything you want to talk about here on this Freedom Friday of Montana Talks. First up, though, our friend Henry Kriegel, the Deputy State Director for Americans for Prosperity, Montana. Happy Freedom Friday, Henry. How you been?
I'm doing great, Aaron.
Well, man, it's getting down to crunch time. Your AFP action team has been hitting hundreds of thousands of doors across Montana, and here we are, less than 3 weeks to go till Election Day.
We are in countdown right now, Aaron, as you know, and we are looking strong. We're going to run through the tape. We take nothing for granted. We've gotten reports that the other side is also fighting hard. They're not going to just give up, the Chester team. They're pretty formidable adversaries, and I've been told they're out in twos, knocking on doors in remote areas in Montana, which tells me they have money, and their tactics are extremely bold. One friend reported they went to her in her garden to tell her that if you are a Trump supporter, this is a community of 500 people just outside of Yellowstone Park, that if you are a Trump supporter, you can vote for John Tester. And that's their last play.
Wow.
Because they realize they are behind. And there is Trump is going to crush it here in Montana, and maybe by 15 or more points. And we've got Sheehy up by, 7 or 8 points. So all they need to do is get half of those Trump support crossover voters to come their way, and they could make some headway. So that's their play. I just want to remind listeners that it was John Tester who voted to impeach Trump twice. It was John Tester who voted against every single U.S. Supreme Court candidate. It was John Tester who threatened to punch Trump in the face. It was John Tester who also opposed some of the best bills that would have served Montana's interests. So there are plenty of reasons why not to fall for this play. In addition, Aaron, I saw also that Tester's folks are running a full-page ads, wraparounds to the front page of the local Bozeman Chronicle. I assume they're doing it around the state, focusing on Republicans for Tester.
Oh, man. I've seen that. Hold that thought, Henry Kriegel. I've seen this list of names before, and I'm like, those people aren't even Republicans. What an outright sham. Henry Kriegel, hold that thought. Back right after this quick break.
Very.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right back into it. And by the way, this segment brought to you by Americans for Prosperity Montana. Henry Kriegel with us here. Yeah, Henry, when I first started seeing these Republicans for Tester commercials and lists of names, I'm like, these are the people that I've been arguing with on Twitter for the last 6 years. They were the people that supported Steve Bullock's lockdowns and mask mandates. Like, or they were defending the cancellation of the Keystone XL pipeline. I'm like, these people are not Republicans. But I guess this is the party that thinks men can identify as women. So, of course, they think that Democrats can identify as Republicans, right?
Yeah, it's the last gasp effort of a failing campaign, Aaron, and they're just grasping for straws. They launched these ads the day that Trump did his rally in Bozeman. That's where they began. And they have tons of money, and they're oversaturating the media, and it's actually backfiring on them. People are sick and tired of seeing the repeated ads. I'm watching stations on Samsung Plus. I don't subscribe to cable. And it's the protester ads, the same ones run twice or three times in the row. That's how much money they're pouring into the media, and the media is soaking it up because it is a cash cow for them at this point. Is it effective on voters? No. I imagine they do like me. They walk around with their clicker in their hand and they mute it. So, any case, I just want to give that alert out there that the Tester folks are going to campaign and run very hard, and we need to do the same. That means voting, getting your friends and family out to vote. Try to get 5 to 10 people you know to vote, because it's all about the turnout right now and maintaining this level of enthusiasm and energy that we need to drive people out and to win this election here in the state of Montana for our government for the future.
Well, Henry, I know our listeners in parts of Montana, you think there are some counties in eastern Montana where they will vote 70-80% plus for Donald Trump and likely Tim Sheehy as well. So I'm sure they're going to be glad to hear that you're not taking your foot off the gas, because that's the concern a lot of people have right now, is they're saying, okay, all of these polls for the last 90 days have shown Tim Sheehy up on Liberal Senator John Tester by several points. The New York Times had him up by 8 points. But then we hear that okay, now there's these other Senate races that are now becoming likely Republicans, Michigan, elsewhere across the country. So the concern is that, the folks backing Tim Sheehy will now be focused elsewhere. They'll take their foot off the gas, and then John Tester, with all of his Chuck Schumer money, will flood the airwaves with the final 3 weeks to go. So I think folks are going to be glad to hear you're not taking your foot off the gas.
Not at all. In fact, all of our staff, including myself and our state director and our entire team, plus our part-time canvassers throughout the state, 80-plus people, are out every Saturday, all day, through the elections. That doesn't even include all those who are out there every day of the week for us. We are not taking up. Our foot is on the pedal. We're going to run through the tape. We want to secure this picture because we know how critical and important it is to get at least the 51st U.S. Senator. That's Tim Sheehy. That's our firewall strategy. He'll be our champion, and we got to make it happen.
Well, separate from what you're doing with AFP Action, I've been doing this Prosperity as Possible tour. We were just in Libby and Eureka and Kalispell, had incredible events. You've got just such a great team, Josh Carl, and then Jesse Ramos was up there with us in Libby along with Tori Foster. But we're going to be in Missoula for the Fusion Fights tonight, and then Liquid Planet Grill tomorrow, and then the Press Box tomorrow night. We're going to have a big event there. I encourage folks to come join us for that. The point being is that, with this Prosperity as Possible tour, we're not telling people how to vote or who not to vote for. We're simply saying, look, after November and moving forward, prosperity is possible. We get better policies on the books. We can deal with inflation. We can unleash American energy. We can secure our borders. We can get this country going in the right direction with better policies.
Absolutely. That's the whole purpose why AFP Action endorses candidates, so we can get good policies enacted into law. And the Americans for Prosperity on the story is talking just about the policies we need to have enacted and discussing and sharing with voters and not voters, but citizens, like what is contributing to the increased cost of living? What are those bad policies that are driving up costs for gas and food? Heck, Montanans are paying an average of $444 a month more since January 2021 just on food and gas alone. That's more than a car payment for a used car per month.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Point that out.
We had 40 people waiting in line for us to start our event at the grocery store in Libby last Saturday because they said that's how desperately they needed a gift card to the grocery store because of the high prices of goods right now. Henry Kriegel, about a minute to go here before the break. There's people who are just now paying attention or who are saying, look, this is the final 3 weeks. The ball is on the 5-yard line. Time to get a touchdown. How can they get involved with you and your team?
All right. So if you want to get involved with AFP Action and help us go door to door, we have volunteer opportunities. We do Thursday night phone banking. We'll teach you how to canvass to win votes. AFP Action. We have offices throughout the state of Montana. Just email us at infomt, as in Montana, infomt@afphq.org. We'll get you connected. I guarantee you'll have fun doing it. I get out and I have a blast talking with voters. It's one of the things I really enjoy looking forward to do, even on a weekend. So come out and join us. Get in the action. Just don't be a keyboard warrior. Great to share information. Even better to go out and do.
All right. Henry Krugel, great to catch up with you as always. And yeah, Henry, I mean, they'll engage the Montana legislature as well. They'll work with both sides of the aisle. So they're gonna have a lot more to follow. They're not just here for the elections and gone is the point. Back after this, talking housing and more.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, hey, real quick, especially for our Missoula listeners on KMPT, I'm going to get a full list of our event schedule in Missoula on our Montana Talks website eventually. I'm still working to get specific timelines for you, but I'll get that on our Montana Talks website before tomorrow, because I know you're going to be wondering, hey, what time are you going to be at Liquid Planet Grill? And we're going to have some gift cards for you there. What time are you going to be at the press box? I can tell you what time we'll be at the press box. 5 to 7 p.m. tomorrow night, Saturday night, we'll be at the press box right there in Missoula. And get this. This is so cool. We're going to have a celebrity waitress. So what we're going to do two things at the press box for this Prosperity is Possible tour paid for by Americans for Prosperity Montana. The upper room of the press box, we're going to have appetizers and beverages. We're going to be hanging out. We'll have some swag. We'll be talking with folks. So you can come up and just hang out. If you just want to come out, you know, have some appetizers and hang out, you can come out and hang out with us up there. And then for the rest of the restaurant, we're going to take 24% off your bill. Up to $100. So we're going to take 24% off. Basically, we want you to party like it's 2020. 24% is the restaurant increase in inflation increase in just the last 3.5 years alone. So when we take that 24% off, we're showing you that prosperity is possible with less spending out of Washington, D.C., with American energy, pro-American energy policies, secure borders, and more. So, but our celebrity waitress, do you guys remember when we had Lily Meskers on the program? Lily Meskers broke that big news story about how they were offering up paid political endorsements to student athletes. And these two female student athletes at the University of Montana rejected doing a paid political endorsement for liberal Senator John Tester because he voted against their sports. He voted to allow men into women's sports. Well, anyway, Lily Meskers is a waitress at the press box. So she'll be there. She'll be there with us on Saturday night. So really cool event all around. I mentioned our friend Eigen Graf is in town for some sports tournaments going on right now. Eigen, great to see you, and thanks for freeing up some time before the next game.
Yeah, it's always great to see you in person, not just on the phone. So thanks for having me up.
Yeah, it's great to see you. I mentioned at the top of the hour, you got all these talking heads, housing, 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 and all these journalists, well, housing, housing, housing. It's like, why don't we actually hear, instead of from a talking head, why don't we actually talk to somebody who builds housing for a living about housing?
Yeah, genius, you know, we've been talking about this for my whole career in housing, my dad's whole career in housing, and we've been fighting regulation and the barriers to entry to housing. And you know, being a fifth generation Montana, everybody that came to Montana knows that you got to work hard. And if you work hard, you should be able to get ahead in life. And now you can't just do that. You can't just base yourself on working hard. And so you have to be involved politically. And so if you're in business, you got to be in politics. If you care about the employees and being able to support your employees to be able to support their families, if you care about the price of the product that you produce to the customers that you sell it to, you have to be in politics. The regulatory environment is just through the roof. You cannot participate in business alone. You have to participate in politics as well.
But we were watching the Heritage Christian, Foothills Christian, you know, Bozeman area, Great Falls area soccer match yesterday on that muddy field. You were telling me that, because I mentioned how there was this news story about how the two worst cities in Montana right now for teachers to get affordable housing are Bozeman and Missoula. And I'm like, well, big surprise there. They're the two hardest cities to build housing in because they have the most regulations. And then they also keep piling more taxes on. And if you raise the taxes, you raise the price of affordable housing. What did you tell me? 40% of the price of a house is basically regulatory costs.
Regulation, yep. You know, from the screws and bolts and lumber that we produce or we put into the house to how it's inspected and installed. I mean, it just costs a lot of money. It takes a lot more time than it used to. You know, for example, we put a subdivision together, and it took 4 years before we could actually sell a lot. It just takes so long putting your money to work to be able to produce something for people.
And sometimes there's just nonsensical regulations that add to the cost, add to the timeline, and you add to the timeline, that add to the cost. I know builders in the Billings area, home builders, that say they won't even build in the city limits anymore because it's just too big of a pain in the you-know-what. So they will build outside of the city limits. And I know that's a refrain that you can hear in other parts of Montana as well. You're not only a great home builder in Bozeman, your family goes back over 100 years, but you've been involved in the Southwest Montana Building Industry Association, the Montana Building Industry Association. You're a past president there. And then you're involved nationally with the National Association of Home Builders. Look, Montana, obviously, we've grown tremendously. People were escaping all the lockdown states. They wanted to flee to the free states of Montana, Texas, and these others. Obviously, that's a big factor here. So we need more housing. But on top of that, you're seeing what's going on at the national level, inflation and then government spending, which drove up interest rates. Housing prices are up everywhere, practically. So it's not just something that's happening in Montana.
Yeah, I go back to the Great Recession. You know, we stopped producing housing because we couldn't afford to build homes and people couldn't afford to buy them. But over that time period, we've not built enough homes for the last 15 years, 15, 16 years. And so we have a glut of housing, a shortage of housing of 3 to 5 million homes across the country. And so until we catch up with supply, the cost is just going to keep going up.
I printed up, I saw somebody, I can't remember, I think it was Cheryl Tuscan on Twitter, who shared this Legislative Fiscal Division report where they looked at housing and they looked at post-pandemic population growth. They went even back to the early 2000s. Anything that stood out to you on that chart, on those charts?
Well, it's interesting. You know, most people that used to come move into an area, you would know that they work there. And so we have a lot more remote employment, people working from all over the country, all over the world, living in Montana. And so we always kind of joke. We say maybe they're a radio host in the morning, but if you see somebody out running in the afternoon at 2 or 3 in the afternoon, you go, where's that visible means of income? We don't know where they are employed, how they're making money, but they do go eat at restaurants. They do have a house. They participate in the local economy. So we enjoy that.
Yeah, I was joking with one guy. He was a little late showing up. I volunteered to do the chain gang for the West High Gallatin Raptor JV game yesterday, and the other guy was a little late. He's like, yeah, I thought I was getting out of work early enough, but I was still running late. And I was like, yeah, luckily I get up at dark 30 for the radio, so it makes it a little easier for me to volunteer for a 3 o'clock in the afternoon football game. But the flexibility is nice. You know, the other big thing on the housing debate, you see all these journalists writing these stories, and oftentimes they seem biased, if you ask me. But this came up in the gubernatorial candidate debate the other day. And it's just remarkable to me that here, the very same people who opposed Governor Greg Gianforte and the legislature's bipartisan housing reforms. You had liberal judges block these bipartisan housing reforms, delay these bipartisan housing reforms. And then those same people on the left that try to block the governor's accomplishments try to blame the governor for the high cost of housing when he's actually putting forward proposals to try to help solve this problem. And then they're the ones that are delaying it or blocking it.
Yeah, so I got to sit on that housing task force for the governor, and we got to have a lot of conversations. And a across all aisles, people were bringing in solutions. One of the solutions that I kind of push back on all the time is people putting money towards the solution instead of getting to the problem and fixing the problem at the source. And so you can push money. It's just going to cost all of us more money and maybe incrementally decrease the shelter costs. But if until you fix the problem, the regulatory burdens of producing housing, you're not gonna find a solution to affordability.
What have you been seeing in the Bozeman area? Are things kind of settling down a little bit? I mean, Montana is still growing. I mean, we're still growing by thousands of people just in the last year alone, as in the state as a whole.
Yeah, and I don't think it's gonna stop. I think people know Montana, and if you look back to when my family came here in the 1860s, the population growth has steadily been increasing ever since then. And so people want to be here. Until you figure out that it's not worth your time or your effort or a good place for your family to survive, they're gonna keep coming here. And so, you know, we need to find a place where we can continue to educate kids that the trades education is okay, because we've seen a huge shift in the Gallatin Valley on the labor force, and we're building a lot of multifamily, which I think is probably going to come to a halt pretty soon, and we're going to focus more on single family. I think that's what the customers are looking for. But the labor force is critical, because those bigger companies can bring in a large labor force. They can control whether it's immigrant labor or just housing them for a certain project, where single family home builders can't really do that. You know, you have 135 people that touch each single family home, and we can't control where they live or sleep. Where they live and with their families and house their kids and go to school. So we want to make sure that we have a labor force, and that's getting into the grade schools, junior highs, the high schools with trades education, making sure that they understand it's a viable career path and it shouldn't be looked down upon. And hopefully the school counselors are agreeing with that.
Well, I know everybody's all focused on Tuesday, November 5th, but we're still going to be here Wednesday, November 6th, and the 7th, and the 8th, and the 9th. So we're going to have to get you back on the show after all the election craziness is over, and maybe even on a more regular basis hey, what do we need to do with housing right now? Where do things look? Where do things stand? There's lots of people in the Lewistown area, for example, wondering, hey, okay, right. We got this exciting news about this new big employer coming to town. Where are the employees going to live? Things like that.
Yeah, for sure. I know so many smaller rural communities, the housing stock is aging and hasn't been upkept, and it's going to need some work there if they can even use it, or if they need to start building new. So I know the upkeep is it takes a lot of people to get a business going, and so we just need to sustain that.
By the way, if you're free this afternoon, I got a couple of things that could use some updating in my house. Can you do a couple of side projects while you're in town?
You bet, as long as you don't interfere with the Montana Christian Athletic Association games.
All right. Eigen Graf, great to see you as always. Thanks so much for popping into the Montana Talk Studios.
Good to see you, Aaron.
All right, back after this. As promised, phone lines are open. Anything and everything you want to talk about right after this.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
This week, members of the Montana Farmers Union are in Whitefish for their annual meeting. Montana Farmers Union President Walter Schweitzer says that the state's number one industry is very strong around the Flathead.
It's absolutely alive and well here. And there's a lot of producers here in the valley that market direct to their neighbors. And the next stop we're going to be stopping at is the Glacier Processing Co-op, which is a meat processing co-op. And it's made up of about 40 producing members who all have been marketing direct to their consumers. And they just wanted to control their destiny a little bit. So they got together, formed a co-op, and purchased and have started the Glacier Processing Co-op.
Creating policy for the future of Montana agriculture, a top priority for the Farmers Union annual convention. But members are also disappointed that Congress has failed to pass a new farm bill.
Congress really has a couple of important things they have to get done. One of which is getting a budget bill passed. Another is the farm bill. And they've been delaying and punting and kicking the can down the road. And on the farm bill, they didn't even bother extending it right now. They're more worried about political campaigns and a political message than just doing their job.
The Montana Farmers Union Convention runs through this weekend in Whitefish. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Hey, if you need...
Save big on all your Halloween needs, all in the Kroger app.
Mix and match 5 or more on Powerade, Campbell's Soup, Bar S, Franks, and more for 99 cents each with your card. Then get tender, fresh Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.29 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I don't know why they were so surprised that Kamala Harris snubbed the Al Smith dinner last night. The Al Smith dinner is a big Catholic fundraiser. Lots of Jews there, too. And, of course, she has, you know, not been very supportive of our friends in Israel. And she has failed to stand up strongly to this anti-Semitic nonsense going on in America. But why would they be surprised that Kamala Harris snubbed the Al Smith dinner last night? I remember I wrote this back in August of 2020. How many of you have gotten to enjoy one of those great Catholic burgers at the Wolf Point Stampede in Wolf Point, Montana? Aren't those Catholic burgers great? But back in late 2018, I joked. I said, look, if you're a lawyer here in Montana and someday you want to be a federal judge, you better scrub your social media accounts. You better delete any photos showing you enjoying a Catholic burger, because apparently being Catholic is a disqualification for serving on the federal bench. Yeah, back then you had senators like Dianne Feinstein, Democrat out of California, Mazie Hirono, Democrat out of Hawaii, and the woman that John Tester recruited to run for the United States Senate out of California, Kamala Harris. They all attacked a judicial candidate basically for being Catholic. I mean, it was just absolutely crazy. They went after this candidate and they started attacking the Knights of Columbus. I mean, not only did Kamala Harris compare ICE to the KKK, but they were attacking the Knights of Columbus. It's like, man, these people are just nuts. Well, no wonder President Donald J. Trump joked about having strong support amongst the Catholic vote while he showed up at the Al Smith dinner last night.
All polls are indicating I'm leading big with the Catholic vote, as I should be, as I should be. But I don't think Kamala has given up yet. She hasn't. Instead of attending tonight, she's in Michigan receiving communion from Gretchen Whitmer. That's not a pretty sight. But Catholics, please don't be too insulted by Kamala's absence. If the Democrats, he says, thank you very much, I appreciate it. The Democrats really wanted to have someone not be with us this evening, they would have just sent Joe Biden.
Oh, so of course he had some great Kamala Harris jokes at the Al Smith dinner. For those of you that don't know, the Al Smith dinner, it's a roast. They always have fun at this. Democrats and Republicans show up for this, and they roast each other, and they roast themselves. And every president going, well, every presidential candidate going back to Walter Mondale has showed up for this. Walter Mondale never showed up, and neither did Kamala Harris. But I think some of his best jokes were about Kamala's running mate. You know, that wacky governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz?
There's a group called White Dudes for Harris. Have you seen this? White Dudes for Harris. Anybody know it? Are some of you here? White Dudes for Harris. Doesn't sound like it. But I'm not worried about them at all, because their wives and their wives' lovers are all voting for me.
Oh, man, there's more where that came from, but we want to hear from you. Let's go to your phone calls. Mike in Bozeman, first up. What's going on, Mike?
I wanted to pay tribute to Pete from Bozeman, who used to call in years past, and he passed away 2 years ago this fall from prostate cancer, if I recall. And he was such an influence on me that I knew him. I had known him for about 35 years. And he was the most intellectual, self-educated individual without a college degree I ever met. And it was through his influence that I continued to pursue my own self-education and went back to college at age 49, up here at MSU, and earned myself a political science degree, which had really helped me learn about the left and what they choose to leave out of a political science curriculum, which leads me then to this book that I came across by accident on a website called frontpagemagazine.org. And it's started by David Horowitz, who was originally a red diaper doper baby, as Rush used to call him. And he has some excellent colleagues that write for him, and one of them is named Daniel Greenfield, and he wrote a book recently that was published this year called Domestic Enemies, The Founding Fathers Fight Against the Left. And it is this book that I highly, highly wish that all of my fellow Montanans and Americans could read, because it gives history of the political left, how it started from a fanatical desire to duplicate what the French Revolution did with all of the beheadings and the killings, and they wanted to bring that to America. This is after our American Revolution, and they have been a source of continual corruption and evil and tyranny that has, through the decades, evolved into the fundamental foundation of the Democrat Party and the Nazis, and follows in hand in hand with everything that's in Islam.
The continued march of totalitarianism. Yeah, David Horowitz is great. I remember him talking about being a red diaper baby when he spoke on the University of Montana campus about 21, 22 years ago. We got a chance to hear him speak at UM, and he got some of those red diaper babies on the Missoula campus pretty fired up when they brought him to town. That was great. Mike, thanks for that call. What you said about our friend Pete in Bozeman, I remember hearing him on the radio, not just on this show, but on some of the other great radio programs over the years on 1450 KMMS. You said something about him being educated without a college degree. That was something that I thought of the other day. You hear all of these pollsters when they talk about the elections. They'll say, well, Kamala Harris is doing very poorly with this class of voter, with that class of voter, with this class of voter, but she's performing very well with college-educated voters. And I just, when I heard that line, what came to mind was like, these people may have a college degree, but they are not educated. They might have college, but they are not educated. And sounds like Pete, very educated without having college. Mike, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Terry in Marion next up. What's going on, Terry?
Hey, how are you?
Hey,
good
great.
Morning. Hey, I just wanted to talk about the illegal immigration problem here in Montana and our trades. You know, I was in Lowe's this morning, and and I'm in there a lot, and I own my own small business. And, there was a dozen younger guys in there from 20 to 40 this morning, all buying nail bags, and I brought up a chat with them, and not a one of them could speak English. So, my problem is not only with them being here and stealing jobs from Montanans, but also I have a problem with the contractors here in Montana that are hiring them. So what can we do about that?
Yeah, good question. David Noble, who fills in for us from time to time on the show here, does a great job. He will tell you that this is happening. He will tell you that there are some, not all, but that there are some contractors out there that are deliberately hiring illegal aliens. Now, just because somebody doesn't speak English or they're Hispanic doesn't mean they're illegal. They could be here on some sort of a work status, right? But he will tell you that this is happening
that there are these companies hiring illegal aliens. And so the question is, what do we do about it? Right now, the biggest problem we have is even the states that try to do something about the legal aliens that get busted in their own backyard, you have the Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, John Tester regime telling them, nope, you can't do that. No, 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 you can't deport them. No, 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 we have the authority here. And that's exactly why November 5th is so critical. But I also wonder, I think there's more that our state could be doing. Now the feds, if Kamala Harris gets and John Tester stay in power, they're still going to try to block us. But still, I'd like to see the state press forward with more reforms on that front as well. But guaranteed, a Harris-Tester regime in Washington will block whatever the state does if they remain in power.
Well, absolutely. And you know, we had a problem with this back in the up here in the Flathead Valley, back in the early 2000s with these brothers. They were the Figueroa brothers out of California, and you know, ICE came in and busted them, and you know, arrested you know the guys they had working for them. But there was contractors that were hiring them.
Yeah, and like I say, David Noble will say that is still happening to this day based off of the cases that he's seen in our courts. All right, got to hold it there. Terry, thanks for the call. Pat Plowman next.
Yo. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. I put a couple of these sound bites together. I mixed a couple of the Trump sound bites from his Al Smith dinner jokes last night. Here's a couple of them that I just threw together in a little mini montage for you here before we get right back into the phone lines.
I used to think the Democrats were crazy for saying that men have periods, but then I met Tim Walz. The stupid show, The View, is so bad now that the other day I was watching it and thinking to myself, you know what? They really need to bring Rosie O'Donnell back.
All right. If you go to x.com/Aaron Flint, I retweeted the full video of his speech at the Al Smith dinner last night. Absolutely hilarious. Let's go to Pat Plowman in Carbon County. Pat, God bless you. Always good to hear from you. What's going on?
Bless you too, Aaron. You're always in my prayers. Thank you for your service to our community.
Well, Lord knows I need them. Thanks for praying for me. Thank you.
Don't we all appreciate it. And a change of pace, I just wanted to honor the memory of Dr. Phillips, whose memorial I went to yesterday, one of the presidents of Yellowstone Baptist College, and the service was heavenly. Someone has to tell President Bush, President Trump, about the wonderful grandson who sang Amazing Grace. It was so amazing. I felt like I was in heaven.
Oh, wow. I wonder if somebody has video of that they could share with us. We could maybe play that on the radio one of these days.
Oh, that'd be beautiful. I will ask. There was a video recorder. So that'd be beautiful. Yes, he was the president of Yellowstone Baptist College and a good friend.
What was it about his life that was shared or that you would share that stood out?
Oh, that he put our Lord and Savior first. And he was humble. I think God loves humility, and his family as well. His family are a beautiful family. Thank you, God.
Well, Pat, thanks for calling in. Great to hear from you as always. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. If you got something you want to share, you got something you want to talk about, always great to hear these good news stories and good messages on a Freedom Friday as well. Next up, let's go to Kelly in Billings. Kelly, what's on your mind?
Well, sir, what I wanted to know is if I could find some good information on the district court judges that are on my ballot so I make sure I'm putting the right people in the right places.
And you're in Billings, right? So these would be, you have five candidates on your ballot for Yellowstone County for that district.
That's correct.
Yeah, MontanaVoterGuide.com is the best website I've found. I mean, it gives you one indicator. It tells you where these folks have given politically, where they've donated politically. So, like, for example, if somebody gives 100% of their campaign contributions to the Democrats, well, that tells you they're likely to be a liberal judge. If somebody gives 100% to Republican candidates, that might tell you that they're likely to be a fair judge. Now, I would say a conservative judge or a Republican judge, but these conservative judges that I've been talking with, they rule fairly based off the Constitution. They don't rule from the bench to push their own personal political agendas. So that's why I make that distinction there. I say it's an indicator because sometimes you'll have these, you know, judicial candidates that, look, you're lawyers. You operate under this corrupt judicial system that we've got going on in Montana right now. And so some of them will donate to both sides because just like why Donald Trump donated to Hillary Clinton back in the day. You want to do business in New York City? Sometimes you gotta play the game.
There you have it. All right. Well, I appreciate it, sir. And thank you for your service.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for calling in. Yeah, Ashley Harada is a great Yellowstone County judge. And Tom Party, I know Tom Party. He's a fellow Iraq War veteran. So if you're looking to retain or not to retain on that front, definitely Ashley Harada. But boy, the way that these liberal lawyers and even some of these other liberal judges just viciously tried to undermine her and attack her, all the more reason to vote to retain Judge Ashley Harada, if you ask me. I got a note from Brad Molnar. He is a public service candidate for seat 2 on the Public Service Commission. He and his opponent are having a debate 6 p.m. tonight in the community room at the Billings Library. So anyway, Brad Molnar is inviting you, if you're in the Billings area, to get out there and be there for that debate. The debate is being moderated by Tom Tao, who's a big-time Democrat. Nice guy, but big-time Democrat. So look at that. Look at that. Brad Molnar isn't afraid to go attend a debate moderated by a Democrat, but yet look at how John Tester just runs and hides from everybody except for the friendly media outlets. Let's see. We're just about out of time. Alan in Billings, you get the final 30 seconds. We're just about out of time. Alan, what's on your mind?
Yes, well, Aaron, I'm calling in to just chime in that you and your main man, Travis, are doing an excellent job. And I'm very pleased that things are looking good in Montana. And I would say not only keep your foot on the gas, but actually step it up.
That's right.
This is a time when they will do anything and say anything to try to win, and we can't let them. And besides that, I would say go the extra mile and reach out to people you know in other states.
And Jonathan sent us a message. Get your ballots in early. Fill them out early. Send them in ASAP. And thanks for thanking Travis. He does an incredible job for the whole state.